T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein Middays on 670 The Score.
Chris Ranji, what are your thoughts on the passing of Ed Farmer?
He was a very unique individual, and I'm positive I will not know anybody like him for the rest of my life. He just he was an incredible dude. Ed Farmer was a really, really good person, and for people who did not get a chance to know him, and that's odd to say, because it seemed like Ed knew everybody. Like, I mean, he knew everybody. I was amazed at the amount of people who would come into the broadcast booth. He was really an incredible person, and I don't think people got to know that side of him very much, and I'm happy I got to.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday. Bernstein Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and the first ever 8-passenger Hyundai Palisade. You're looking forward to some Bears news today. We expect to have some because Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are meeting the media in a teleconference. I'm sure they're going to be asked all the big picture stuff, all the macro, all the micro. We'll learn more about the Chicago Bears today. We're going to talk some baseball with Dan Zimborski, senior writer at FanGraphs. That is up at 10. Dan Durkin, the head Bears analyst at The Athletic, has been doing some film work, and he has figured out specific ways in which this new offensive brain trust, whatever it is going to find ways to help Nick Foles. He's gone back in all through Nick Foles' games, all of his successes, and looked at what he's done well and tried to overlay that with what the Bears might be able to do. So we'll talk Bears news and talk Bears strategy with Dan Durkin at 11. Former White Sox Steve Lyons is scheduled to join us at 11:30 as well. We can talk to him also about the continuing deep dive that we're doing regarding the 1986 Chicago White Sox, of which he was a part. Also, when Nagy and Pace get done talking, the moment they're done talking, we are going to try to flip that around. As we're getting to the news as it comes out, we will then have the audio for you, so you'll be able to hear them in their own words as they talk about the Chicago Bears. 312-644-6767 is the number, WSCR, The Score. If you want to send me a tweet, you can. I am at @Dan_Bernstein. Text the text zone at 67011. It's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. You must also download the radio.com app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer. Chris Dickens is the man back at the studio on the board right now. So after the show yesterday is when the news started rolling in about the firings, and it sucks. I'm going to be totally straight up, totally honest with you as I can possibly be. It was a horrible day in my near quarter century working at this station, working anywhere. It was a really, really, really rough, difficult day. And people whom I respect immensely, dear friends of mine, are looking for work. And all I can do is just tell you how bad I feel and how much it sucks. And we have heard from the top of the company, and we know that this is not just a Score thing. It's not just a Chicago thing. This has been across the board
of all the however hundred many stations that are involved, and the realities, the blowback, the aftershocks of an entire national economy, an entire world economy, putting the brakes on, are real, and they affect everything. And we are not immune. And as much as we see it creep in and we keep feeling like it's somewhere else, it's everywhere, and it hits home. It's the pandemic itself. It's whatever invisible, awful germs are out there from which we're trying to protect ourselves and taking all the best steps, continuing to do so. But the ramifications, the effects of this on business are legit, and that it came home and it hit us yesterday, and it hit this show particularly hard, as you know. I don't know what to tell you. I was walking around in a daze yesterday, just trying to get some sense of what's going on. I also want to say that the response from people from, you don't expect, and you don't know who's going to reach out. And your phone starts going crazy. Is this true? Is this real? What's happening? But the number of people, and I'm not just talking about my friends inside and outside the industry or people within the station, because the support within the Score, the structure on which this station has been built for 30 years and the way it's existed for 30 years, you learn about it. You learn about people. You learn about the strength of people, the strength of your leadership, the strength of your coworkers, and what that shared history, what that sweat equity means. You learn about it yesterday, but it wasn't just internal. And I know that for the most part, so many of our social media interactions are kind of gross and impersonal and frankly nasty. And there's plenty of that. We all got some of that. But some of the outreach, some of the humanity and awareness, because everybody's going through this. Everybody has been touched in one way or another, either by the illness itself or by the effects of it, or in some cases, both. And like I say, it was a very, very difficult day for a lot of people yesterday, some more than others. The last thing I want to do is pretend that I have it worse than anybody, because I don't, and I'm not lamenting my own situation or condition by any stretch, and I don't want you to read into it as if I am. But anybody with any empathy feels terrible for so many people for so many reasons. And we keep having these perspective resets on everything. And unfortunately, when things really are bad, we think about loss of jobs, we think about loss of income, and then we look up and we see actual loss of life. And people having to say goodbye to their loved ones via a walkie-talkie, or maybe lucky enough to be able to be on a phone when someone's taken off a ventilator. And it makes your head spin. It makes my head spin to think about where this all is and what it means to have work, or to simply be, to have one's health, to have a healthy family, to have healthy parents, to have people who are safe, and knowing that there will be an end to it, and that we will come out on the other side, and things will be better. And all I can say is that after a really difficult day, one of the most important things that I had going for me was thinking about 9 o'clock and thinking about being able to talk to you, because it matters to me. It matters immensely to me. Maybe more so than you ever know, about what this relationship, your relationship, my relationship with you over 25 years is a source of strength. It's a source of laughter. It's a common sense of connection and humanity, even at its most meaningless, even when it seems the silliest. It matters. You matter. And on days like this, on days like yesterday, as we're all trying to work through some of this stuff together, all I can tell you is we're going to keep it as normal as possible. And by normal, I mean as silly, as sometimes trivial, as maybe ridiculous, satirical, as we can make it. And I promise to do it. I know that as we were talking yesterday and trying so hard to be normal, we knew it wasn't normal. And it's not. Our definition of normal may not ever be what it once was. But damn it, I'm going to do the best we can, the best I can. And I know we at the Score, and I don't want to be presumptuous enough to speak for everyone at this station, but I know what this station is made of. I know what this station has been through. And I know what we're going through right now. I know who our leaders are. I know what our shared history is. You're part of it too. You mean as much as anybody in these hallways. And it's so funny, I say these hallways, and I'm literally looking at the hallways in my own home, because I'm not in the Score hallways at the moment. So this is an abstract place, but it's real. It's real. We'll be back in those hallways. We'll be back in there, and those people, those connections, that proximity that we're now having to hold on to in our minds is real, and you're a part of it. Yesterday sucked. It sucked a whole hell of a lot, but we're going to do everything we can to do what we do, and here in Middays, I'm going to keep fighting to do it. We're going to talk sports. We are going to talk about everything else that's going on in your life, because the last thing you need is me being all serious, because that's the last thing you want right now, because you've got your lives, you're working, you are on a mail route, or you are in the back room of a grocery store, and bless you for it if you're unpacking heads of lettuce right now with a mask over your face, or if you're driving to go and do what you do, or if you're homeschooling your kids, bless you. The stories that I've heard from my friends about the respect that they have for teachers and what's happening, if you're listening, whatever you're doing right now, we're here. I'm here. You're here. And it makes me feel better. It's one of the few really nice things to know that you're there and to know that we're going to be able to do this. And hell with it. We've got the Bears brass talking today. We got Ryan Pace talking today. We got Matt Nagy talking today. We're going to learn more about the Chicago Bears. And we're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk sports. And I want to know from you. And feel free, 312-644-6767 for whatever you want to talk about. Whatever you want to do, we're going to do it. And this is going to feel normal again enough as soon as we can. But thanks for indulging me. Yesterday was brutal. And with every moment that goes by, we're going to make it less brutal. And we're going to get better. Here's the question I have for you, as we're talking about what's going to make you feel better. Is there anything that Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy could say today that would reassure you? Anything? And I know what you're saying right now. Yeah, if he told me he was going to launch himself into the sun on a rocket, that would make me feel much better. I get that. In all seriousness, is there any admission? Is there any telltale sign? Is there anything of which you could be made aware by the people in charge of the Bears that would make you feel better about where they are relative to a Super Bowl? 312-644-6767. I'm Dan Bernstein. I'm here till noon. You have the Score.
During these stressful times, it's really important to keep traditions alive. My favorite tradition is the cocktail hour. So I'm going to make you my favorite cosmopolitan, and you probably have all the ingredients right in your house. So here goes. So you need a big pitcher, because I like to make a lot of cosmos. You never know who's going to stop by. Wait a minute, nobody's stopping by. 2 cups of vodka, good vodka, and a big pitcher. Just pour it right in. Next is one cup of Cointreau or triple sec, any kind of orange liqueur. That's one cup. One cup of cranberry juice cocktail. I mean, how easy is this? And a half a cup of freshly squeezed lime juice. It's got to be freshly squeezed. Very important. Okay, now that's the pitcher. So now I've got a cocktail shaker, a very big one. And I've got half filled with ice, ready to go. I'm just going to pour the cocktail in. Oh, this smells so good. Just what everybody needs, right? Put the lid on and just shake it up. Okay, you have to shake it for 30 seconds. You have lots of time. It's not a problem. 30 seconds. Oh, that's gonna be good. During a crisis, you know, cocktail hour can be almost any hour. Okay, now, the last detail is really important, a good martini glass. I'm going to show you the one I like. I would say, in these times, this is really important. So just pour it right in. Oh, doesn't that look fabulous? Nice and cold. And lots of it. And I would say, stay safe, have a very good time, and don't forget the cocktails. Mmm. Delicious.
That was Ina Garten, the Barefoot Contessa. And if it's
delicious,
like, like a bath, Jeffrey's getting some tonight, man. If that sounds like a bathtub, the best part of that, first of all, was the deadpan that she was doing. It was just her. If you watch that show, she wasn't not joking around. It was as if it was a real thing. And you're watching, you're thinking, wait a sec, is that real? Because she says two cups of vodka, right? It's 2/3 of a bottle of Grey Goose that she pours in there. And she says, like, well, that's two cups. Takes a half a bottle of Cointreau, calls it one cup. It was just, and the martini glass just is a, I mean, it's essentially a bathtub. She pulls this thing out with two hands. The glass itself was a pitcher. So, I was dying watching that yesterday. I didn't know if it was real or not, but indeed it was. So I asked you going into the break with, we're about, what, 39 minutes away from if they're on schedule for the teleconference today, that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are scheduled to, quote unquote, meet reporters as much as they can be meeting reporters. And I want to know what they could say that could reassure you about the Bears, that could make you feel better about anything that's going on. I, first of all, one thing on my list, I would love for a reporter to put it right to Ryan Pace about what Lori Lightfoot said on these airwaves yesterday. She said something like, if Ryan Pace is awake and like criticizing the Mike Glennon signing, I would love for, even if it's lightheartedly, to ask him, hey, how do you feel being criticized by the mayor? And of course he'd say, well, I'm just happy she's a big fan, whatever it might be. There are things for which we're going to be listening to give us some kind of indication, clearly, of what's going on at the quarterback position. But I don't know what else they could say right now. You know, what are you doing collecting all these failed first rounders? 312-644-6767. That's the phone number. This is Mike in Chicago Heights on the Score. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Listen, I know you didn't write that speech. I mean, that just put a tear to my eye. I've been with you guys since day one. I listen to you guys every day, 24 hours a day, even Grabber, even at 2 in the morning. And I get like 4 hours of sleep, but things,
Mike, that's a little much. Now, 4 hours of sleep is not healthy. That's a little much for listening. I love you.
But yeah. Well, you know, I just want to say, well, my mom is 90 years of age and she's upstairs right now and I'm taking care of her. My sister's a doctor at U of I Hospital, and she says, I got to wear this mask all day long. I have to take a temperature right when I walk in. And I'm like, well, Kathleen, you're the best. Other than that, all my family is still healthy. God bless them. My son's over there in Oak Lawn. Anyways, getting back to Nagy and Pace, they can't win World Series. I'm thinking baseball here, Cubs. The Super Bowl, they can't. The pieces aren't all in place. Well, they need an offensive line. A quarterback's not going to do anything.
So the question, Mike, what would you hear? What could you hear? What would you want to hear from Pace and Nagy today that would reassure you that they're on track
to trying to win the Super Bowl or to winning a Super Bowl?
You know, I can't answer that question because it's really frustrating. You know, they get rid of a kicker and they get a, you know, and they don't do anything right. Can you do anything right? Can you get the right person to do the job?
Okay, I mean, Mike, thank you for the call, and best of luck to you and your 90-year, did you say grandmother or mother? I think, whatever she is, whoever's mother or grandmother, keep that mask
mother.
On. I believe it's mother. Keep taking your temperature, and please get more than 4 hours of sleep, because that's just not enough. And thank you for the call, and best with everything. Grayson in Valpo, you're on the Score. How are you? Hello?
Can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, good. All right. So I wanted to say your speech was, I knew it wasn't written just like the previous caller said. It's straight from the heart. I understand where you come from. And I just wanted to let you know, as an Amazon driver driving out in these empty streets and not seeing the faces I usually see, just hearing you guys on the air has been a good relief just to hear some familiar voices, even in this time, and just to laugh and hear about the general, just, I can't explain the polls. I can't explain the pairs right now. Anyway, just thank you for everything. I've been listening since the Mark Trestman days, which was, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. You guys are doing an amazing service. Thank you.
Well, thanks for listening and thanks for calling. Appreciate it. I would like to know what you think about what you want to hear from the Bears. I can actually name a few things here. I would like to hear the words they use to describe the quarterback situation rather than just blandishments about some kind of competition. How are they going, if it is a competition, if they are going to say this position is up for grabs, how are they going to do it? Maybe they kick the can down the road. It's not time for that yet. Because, you know, Ryan Pace will do what he can do to run out the clock on the interviews, because that's what he does. He will say, well, this isn't the time, or you guys have to respect that we can't talk about those things quite yet. But I want, if he does say something like that, I know it's kind of snarky, but I would like a reporter to say, Ryan, please tell us when that good time is, because ever since you've taken over as general manager of the Bears, there has never seemingly been a good time to answer questions. There's always been something happening or something else going on that has superseded the ability to answer questions honestly, apparently, based on what he says. Guys, you have to respect this time. Well, generally, this is the time of year when general managers are doing what? Lying. They're almost always lying this time of year, pre-draft. They don't want to commit to anything. But, you know, you just traded for a damn quarterback. And I think fans are owed some sense of clarity as to whether or not you traded for a backup quarterback, you traded for a starting quarterback, or you traded for somebody who's going to compete for the job. And if it is someone who's going to compete for the job in training camp, the moment this all reconvenes, if and when it all reconvenes, I think it's fair to know what's at stake, how we're going to do it. You know, we're going to talk to Dan Durkin at 11 o'clock, one of the smartest Bears analysts out there. He writes for The Athletic, and he's got some very specific X and O stuff. But he could also talk about the cap ramifications, too, of the restructuring of the Foles deal, because it looks like it's 1 year, and whether or not he's good, he's going to get his chance to launch if he wants. And then the Bears might have to pony up more money than they want, depending on what happens. So the restructuring, to me, does have an effect on perhaps how this is going to be handled. Bobby in Saginaw, Michigan is on the Score. How you hanging in, Bobby?
Hey, Dan. Good morning. I'm hanging in all right. I love your show. I love you and Connor.
Thanks, man.
And I've listened to you guys every day, listened to you for years, and Connor and Rick are going to be missed, and I know they'll land on their feet. And everybody that's going through hard times, you know, we're thinking of them.
I agree. They're very talented people who will find bigger and better things.
No question. And I think, hearing Ryan Pace talk today and tell us that he's fired up and all in should make things feel pretty normal, I guess. You know, he'll run through his usual spiel of things. You know, to answer your question, the only thing really that he could say that would make me feel like the Bears are aware of their situation was if he said, look, we went into the offseason and we felt like we needed to improve our quarterback position if we wanted to win a Super Bowl. I don't expect him to say that in those words. You know, I do expect more of a lip service to competition and competing at every position and all of run out the clock on the press conference, as you say. But if he was just bluntly said, look, we analyzed our team. We have a pretty good team here, but our quarterback is weak. If he said something like that, it would make me feel like they understand where they are in the NFL right now. But, you know, I got to say, as I watched a free agency unfold and Bears connected to quarterbacks, you know, Bridgewater and Foles and Dalton and all that, it made me feel pretty good that they knew where they were until I saw that Jimmy Graham signing, and then the confidence meter went right back to zero. So I don't really like Ryan Pace. I have a pretty solid – I feel like my opinion of him is pretty cemented at this point. But if he could just bluntly say, we need to improve our quarterback if we want to win the Super Bowl, that'd make me feel better.
Bobby, good call as always. Good health to you. Appreciate it. There is a theme developing on the text line here. It's 67011. It says, they won't ever say it, says the 309. But I'd like to hear them say how they've studied their evaluation process to understand why they keep missing on early round draft picks. 708 says, I want Pace to admit his drafts have been less than stellar and he's trying to fix it. See, that kind of, we know that. That's right in front of us. That is made manifest. It's clear he knows it. It's clear that we know it. I don't think there's necessarily insight for him to sort of, you know, self-flagellate, that would be fun too. Or if he just kind of falls on his sword and says, well, you know, obviously I need to be better. You know, that a lot of that is coach speak. A lot of that is the new sort of postmodern coach speak. We're always, it's pointing the thumb. I have to coach better. You know, any coach who starts with that, first and foremost, I have to coach better. It sounds great, but 90% of them don't mean it. And they're pissed at the players for not executing their scheme properly or not remembering the play. So I don't necessarily need to hear him say some of the stuff. For me, it's about process and it's about what to expect. For example, if they actually laid out today, and maybe this is more a Nagy than a Pace thing, if they actually laid out today, this job, and not just say, well, we want competition at all positions, we always have competition at all positions, because that's kind of BS. If they said the quarterback job is up for grabs, we do not have, between Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles, we do not have an in-house favorite for the position. We are going to set this up where they are given an opportunity in practice and perhaps in exhibition games where the offense is going to be on the field more than it otherwise would be. They are going to have an opportunity, each man, to prove he deserves to be the starting quarterback. I don't think there's a downside to that. It may not be what they want to do. And if that's the case, and they say, there's always competition, Mitch is our, he had said, well, and actually I got to go back and look at the truth of it at the time, because he could have been lying, not lying. When Pace previously spoke, he said, Mitch is our starter. And he said that because there was one quarterback on the entire Bears roster. So sure, were they to have played a game that day, Mitchell Trubisky would have been the starter. That's not true anymore. They now have two and a nominal quarterback on the roster after the trade for Nick Foles and the re-signing of Tyler Bray, I don't know where Tyler Bray is going to be on the list of ubiquitous, meaningless Bears. The Harvey Unga team, like the guy who was just kind of always on the Bears and never mattered. He literally, that guy could, you know, walk into a restaurant when you could walk into a restaurant and he could say, I'm on the Chicago Bears. You know, three full seasons of the Tyler Bray experience saying that, yes, I'm on the Chicago Bears. And he is. And he hasn't done anything material. But there are three quarterbacks on the roster. And I would like to know more about what we're not going to learn about the draft, right? That we know that anything about the draft is going to be, it's going to be out there for public consumption because
That's what they do. And general managers in this season lie about everything. 815 says, at least we can play the I'm fired up drinking game. Well, that only if you include euphemisms for fired up. Are you, in fact, including excited, I feel great about this team, anything just the sort of bland optimism, positivity? And this time of year, there's nothing wrong with doing a drinking game because no one's really, there's nowhere to go drive, I guess. Where did I read the tweet? I'm sorry that I can't attribute this, but it was lovely. And someone said, the days now are divided between coffee drinking hours and wine drinking hours. And I'm just thinking that's really how we're measuring things right now. And I can't advise enough that please, when you get the opportunity, whether or not you want to put on a mask, and I did when I went grocery shopping yesterday, I made a mask. I actually did. I got on YouTube and I watched a bunch of videos and I made a makeshift mask. Apparently, if you don't have an actual surgical mask, 100% cotton is good. Cotton poly blend, by my research, my unscientific research, but I looked at a bunch of places. If you have a t-shirt that's 50% cotton, 50% polyester, that is considered like the next best thing to the surgical mask material. Not the N95 mask, which is like the respirator mask. But I found one. It was an old Cork and Carry t-shirt. Shout out to Cork and Carry on Southwestern. And I had it in the back of a drawer that Bill Guidy had given me at a Boris and Bernstein remote from God knows when. And I said, here it is. This Cork and Carry t-shirt is literally going to save my life because I'm going to make a surgical mask out of it. But later on, we took a walk around the neighborhood a little bit as a whole family, all four of us. It was enough Fortnite. It was my daughter got her homework done and my son was on the computer. I said, that's it. We're going to Scooters. And if you haven't experienced Scooters Custard on Belmont and Paulina, they have a special social distancing arrangement. You don't even go in. There's an outside window that's cut into the brick. And you can go there. You can only stand within a certain distance. When it's your turn to go order, you get yours and then you walk away. They have everything sort of demarcated with chalk on the sidewalk for where people stand. And it is the best frozen custard you've ever had in your life. And it was a beautiful day to walk and to see little kids on their bikes and on their big wheels. And so many parents with their kids who are doing sidewalk chalk or who are putting little paintings in the windows and just seeing other human beings, even if within 10 feet, is really life-affirming. Frank in Oak Park is out today. This is special. He's on the score. What's up, Frank? Frank, you there?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like you to know that, I feel for in everything that you and the people of the score are going through. Your show and its various incarnations has been a rock in my day for, many years. So, people like me, we care what's going on. And as far as what the Bears can do to make me feel more secure, it's not pace, it's Nagy saying that he's actually going to play starters more in the preseason, because particularly if you're going to have a quarterback competition, if that's what they really are going to have, I don't know how you cannot be playing your starters with, giving both those guys a shot with the starters to see what they do. As far as pace is concerned, there was a really good, I think it was a Weeder column, I picked it up online from the Tribune, about draft picks. It went back to 2010, so you're talking about like three regimes, and how effective they were with picks rounds five through seven. And, I mean, God, if you can get like a 30% rate where these guys can do anything, and I think actually like Pace's predecessor, Mr. Lanyards, was better as far as having guys who were at least like functional in the league at this point. Pace had more guys who were like already washed out here. But when you don't have a first round draft pick, Yeah, obviously, the two second-rounders have to be immediate impact guys, whether they're starters or whether they're, like, you know, heavy contributors in some other way, immediate contributors. But you have to get some gold because they don't have a fourth rounder, right? It's just like sixth and seventh-round picks now. Did they even have a fifth-round pick? So it's going to be – with the depth they've lost, they got to get – They have to kind of overproduce from history with those drafts late, or picks later on in the draft. So you know that's the only thing they can say that's going to make me feel better. What's going to make me feel better is what they do in the draft and what they do between now and the beginning of the season.
Thanks as always, Frank. Be safe, and obviously that's actions more than words. But if you notice what Ryan Pace has done. He has, while his own first-round picks have been failing, he has been stocking up on other teams' failed first-round picks to see if he can take some advantage there. Jermaine Ifedi, failed first-round pick. Barcavius Mingo, failed first-round pick. Artie Burns, failed first-round pick. And I don't necessarily mind that. I've generally been a believer in pedigree. At some point, if all of the cognoscenti thought that this kid was that good and that some team wanted to take him first, it has to matter. Some of that talent's got to be in there somewhere. And it's weird to think that there are so many teams. You know, the Rams think that of Leonard Floyd. Now, there are others who are thinking that of Ryan Pace's picks. But the margin for error is gone. And to address something else that you said there, Frank, I don't think we're at our same level of trust when Nagy approaches the preseason. And he says, yeah, we don't really need that. We know what's going on in practice. We get more out of practice. Well, you know what? That was great when you started, and that was great when everything looked good early on, and everything was all seashells and balloons in that regard. And there was a huge benefit of the doubt when he said, we know. And I was with him because I don't want to get anybody hurt either. But, you know, there is a time now when he's going to have to play these guys. We're going to have to see it. And he may have to come off the, yeah, trust me, we get more out of practice. Maybe not so much anymore. Might have to be out there in front of us. We might have to see it. And I think you're right in that regard. I'm Dan Bernstein. I am here till noon on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Dan Zimborski is going to talk some baseball with us at 10. He is a senior writer at Fangraphs who's been doing some cool stuff with using some of the new truth about the season and the new timing of a potential season to see how that changes some of the projection metrics. And also he's done a deep dive on what injury means, what serious injury can mean to the career arc of players, especially pitchers. And we can talk about Michael Kopech in that context as well. Then we are going to have Bears news. We are going to turn around the Bears audio from the Pace and Nagy press conference as soon as we possibly can, so then you can hear them in their words and react to it, because I think it matters sometimes to hear how they say certain things. We'll all react to that. Dan Durkin is going to join us at 11. Steve Lyons is going to join us at 11:30, always interesting and entertaining. And if we have time, I hope we do, I've got another really good Who Am I that we're going to play a little bit later on in the show. I'm Dan Bernstein. And you're listening to The Score. Here's something cool when we come back. Ian Happ has a podcast. The Cubs' Ian Happ is doing a podcast. He's calling it The Compound. And he hosted it, I guess, or he had a bunch of guests on. Shortstop Zach Short was with him. And they were talking to Kyle Schwarber. And it was really some of the most interesting stuff I think I've ever heard from Kyle Schwarber about his injury and how he returned. So this is sort of where we are in the world right now. We're going to eavesdrop on the Ian Happ podcast with some interesting Cubs stuff coming your way next on The Score.
Delicious.
Welcome back to Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score. Dan Bernstein with you. We've got Jay Zawoski, our executive producer. Christopher Dickens is on the board today. Looking forward to some baseball talk with Dan Zimborski of Fangraphs coming up just after the top of the hour. And that's when the teleconference is going to be starting with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. As we get news from the teleconference, we will bring that to you and have a chance to react to it in the 10 o'clock hour. And then as soon as they're done talking, we can flip everything around and bring bring that audio right back so you can hear them in their own words. So there is a podcast called The Compound. Not exactly sure what that reference is, but it's Ian Happ, Nico Horner, Dakota Meeks, and Zach Short. And in this segment that you're going to hear, it's mostly Happ doing the interviewing here. Smart and interesting guy. I really enjoyed every conversation that I've had with him. And they're talking with Kyle Schwarber about his 2016 and about coming back from the injury and getting the news that he was ahead of schedule and able to play in the World Series.
I remember going out to like take BP, coming in, changing, and going out for the game, and you were still on the field. And I was like, oh my God, this guy's going to blow out his back.
Well, speaking of you being flabbergasted, Ian, you were pretty flabbergasted when the doctor even told you that you had a chance to play, right?
Yeah, you know, that was that's kind of a crazy story within itself. So kind of like every 2 months, you go to the doctor in Dallas. So the head Dallas Cowboys doctor did the surgery. And so I'd have to go down there about every 2 months, get a checkup. And it just happened to be the off day that the team was going out to L.A. And so me and Matt Johnson, who was a trainer at the time, we went to Dallas, and then we were going to beat the team out in L.A. And, like, jokingly, you know, like, I would, like, they would type up questions, like, Schwarbs, you want to add any questions? I'm like, I was like, yeah. And so I typed, like, World Series ? At the bottom of the paper. I'm, like, jokingly, I'm like, ah, this, like, literally the timetable was for me to come back. First off, it was going to be spring training the following year.
Yeah.
As we kept going through these visits, it was winter ball. And then we get there for this checkup, and he doesn't even read the questions, the doctor. He's just going through the whole skit with the knee where he's pulling on it and checking the stability and the strength. And he looks at me and goes, you know what, your knee looks really great. I'm really surprised how well this is going. And I know you guys are on a big run here, and I really wouldn't be against you, like, pinch hitting or something like that and if you guys make it the World Series. And I, like, jumped off the table. I'm like, what? No way. I'm like, give me the phone. I'm calling Theo right now. Let's go. I need to get to Arizona or L.A. I need to hit. Give me a bat. Let's go. So we get done, and I'm like trying to, like, I'm with Matt, and Matt's like, do not call Theo right now. We have to run this through PJ. I'm like, why? I just want to go right to the source. He goes, I'll get in trouble. I'm like, that makes sense. So I get a text from Theo. He goes, we'll see you in LA tonight, and we'll talk tomorrow. And we went to LA that night, and I wanted to go right to the cage. I think we got in at like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Went right to Dodger Stadium, me, Bussy, and I was in there probably for about an hour taking hacks. And that's something I'll never forget.
That is an animated Kyle Schwarber. I don't know that I've ever heard him quite like that. And I didn't know that it was that dramatic when he got that information. That's pretty cool stuff to hear it from him and to get that sort of validation of your rehab. How often do you go to the doctor and the doctor says something is ahead of schedule or actually better than you thought? It's almost always worse, but that's you can imagine him almost literally jumping off the table. That's good stuff. But see, that's what happens when you get teammates doing the interviewing, because the Kyle Schwarber, who is always so careful and measured around us, obviously lets his guard down around his teammates. And as we talk about that World Series, we should let you know that tonight on The Score, starting at 6 p.m., we'll be replaying NLDS Game 3. 3 from that 2016 season. It was when the Giants beat the Cubs 6-5 in 13 innings. Spoiler alert, I always say that. But these are interactive broadcasts that I know people have been really enjoying. We started them on Wednesday, and they are going to run all the way through Friday the 17th, which will be World Series Game 7. You definitely don't want to miss that. But these have all been really cool because it's Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer, who are joined by Joe Ostrowski live prior to every game for the pregame show. And then after the third inning, they're all there live again, interacting about what it was like being there. Same thing after the seventh inning. And then when it ends, they take calls about that specific game, a post-game show, an ex-post-facto game show, actually. And it's an interactive broadcast that the Score is doing of all 17 games. So enjoy that tonight. If you're looking to feel some baseball on, maybe as it gets warmer, you want to open the windows and just hear the crack of the bat and have it sound like baseball a little bit. That will be 6 o'clock. And actually, that's another nice thing to do also, if you can find a safe place to do it and wash your hands really, really well before and after. But if you know somebody in your family is healthy enough, throw a baseball. Go throw a baseball. Taking a walk and throwing a baseball, you talk about something that is really good for one's mental health. I was looking at watching all these major leaguers on their various social media doing what they're doing. You see Joey Gallo set up a batting cage in his dining room. It looks like he's in some kind of high-rise corner, gorgeous condo, these big plate glass windows. And it looks like when the video starts and it's just him with that big mammoth swing, just putting the ball on the tee and ripping it into a net. And he says that his neighbors are going to get mad at him because of the sound of the crack of the bat. Obviously it has to sound like a gunshot, but I've been watching way too many fail videos, way too many. Like, and it's, they're funny, but now you're at the point where you kind of, so much horrible is going on that it almost makes you feel bad to laugh at the misfortune of others. That there are other videos, some of the Rex Chapman stuff that's actually showing stuff that works, and the, you know, Domino's videos or the Rube Goldberg machines or, you know, ping pong ball in the cup stuff. But I thought the Joey Gallo video was absolutely ripe for him just pulling one right through this high-rise plate glass window. Because I don't care how soundproof or anything proof those things are. What's exit velocity is something like that off a tee is probably less because he's supplying all the power himself. Let's just say it's 90 miles an hour instead of getting the elastic collision from the pitch velocity. That's breaking that glass. That's what I'm thinking. So when I turn on these videos now, I'm always expecting the worst because there's a lot of content out there. My daughter downloaded TikTok, and now there's always another thing. But I didn't know. See, I don't have TikTok. I only get what's on Twitter. So I didn't know that it starts. There's an algorithm that starts selecting TikTok videos for what it thinks you're going to like. I couldn't, based on what's in my Twitter timeline, the algorithm would think I'm a total psycho based on how varied all of these TikToks are, because they're actually coming from people who happen to be posting them. Our number is 312-644-6767. We're going to have some time to grab some calls as the Bears news starts rolling in. We're just minutes away from the Bears general manager Ryan Pace and coach Matt Nagy taking questions from reporters. I hope they come at him, because you don't often get that chance to have Ryan Pace on the record answering questions from something other than in-house media. As we get news, we will turn it around. We will let you know what they are saying. Dan Zimborski is going to join us next. You should be following him on Twitter because he's really good. He is a senior writer at FanGraphs who's done some work looking at some of the prediction measures to determine what a truncated season might look like, and also the effects of injury on career arcs. A lot of smart people with a lot of time and a lot of data to do a lot of work. So he is going to talk to us. A little baseball talk ahead of what's going to become pretty football-y from here on in toward noon on a Friday. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.